Welcome to the Stain Gang Podcast, and joined once again this week by Ryan Spence to talk about Midwestern State women's soccer. And the women continue to play at a high level. Midwestern State, after a win and a draw this past week, now 7-1-3 overall, 3-0-3 in conference play. And when you take a look at the Lone Star Conference standings, Midwestern State is right in the mix for the number one seed in the upcoming postseason tournament, just 1 point behind Angelo State right now, which is 4-0-1. They've got 13 points, Midwestern State with 12, and then there's a group of three at 11, and Lubbock Christian has 10 points. I know we've talked about this a couple of times now, but it is so tightly bunched in the Lone Star Conference. It makes for a fun race, but it's got to be a little bit stressful on a team that's in the heat of the race.
Yeah, it's just you look at the results across the league each week, and of course we played early at 11, so everyone else is playing about 1, and you kind of look and you're like, all right, what could, you know, us getting a draw, what could go our way? And all those teams, they won. So you're like, dang, we maybe lost a little edge there. But no, I mean, it's just every week it's so it's so different. So yeah, we just need to again, you got to get 3 points as much as you can.
Well, and you got 3 points for a 6-1 victory you had at Eastern New Mexico in your midweek match. Was that as good as the teams look this year?
No. I mean, it's been the same. You know, we was 1-0 until the 60th minute, and then we had a good run of 10 minutes. I think we scored 2 or 3 goals. I just think that game was very important because it is away. You know, it was a dry night, not a super windy. But it's just the turf's really fast as well. So it was one of those going in that hopefully we were kind of like, hopefully they stay in a trap game. Cause they haven't gotten the results, even though they've been playing okay against certain teams, they hadn't gotten the results that they wanted. So, no, for a few girls getting their first goal, collegiate goal was big. And I thought that was a kind of an uplifting, I guess, game going into it.
Yeah. Jimenez Rodriguez ended up getting 2 goals, assisted on Riley Earl's first goal. And then Avery Culver had a 3-point game with a goal and an assist. So it was kind of a different cast of characters, at least in terms of the score line. But Cassidy Savoy got you started that night with her 6th goal of the year.
Yeah, she put herself in the right area, and she's kind of just put the ball on frame. That would be different. You know, we knew their goalkeeper was a little bit on the shorter side, and she put it up high underneath the crossbar and did really well, put herself in the right spot.
You outshot Eastern New Mexico that night 21-5, and you had 11 of those shots on goal. And I know that's been a point of emphasis for you, get those shots on frame.
Yeah, if you don't put it on frame, you don't get a chance. So that's the ugly side of that stat is just say, yes, get them on frame, and maybe some good luck can come your way.
And I know you were probably wanting that clean sheet, and it looked like you were going to get it, and they score in the 87th minute. But when you're up 6-0, does that sting as bad? I know you really want that clean sheet.
It probably stings worse.
Really?
Yeah, I go back to when I played, and I think I was one of those players where I would hope, you know, Coach Elder Doug, he would leave me in. If you want to get everyone else, leave me in. I'll keep the ship rolling. You can put them around me and I'll organize them. And then, because that was a pride I wanted. I wanted to be the one to say I played the whole game and we got the shutout. So it's a bit of a pride thing. Could we prevented it? Yes. But yeah, those sting sometimes.
Do you see somebody in that role that you're describing as for you as a player? Do you see somebody in that role for your women's team?
I don't know. I was here for so long that I kind of, you know, Doug kind of formed me into that, and hopefully I was a voice for him, you know, so he wouldn't have to deal with all these questions. I was here 6 seasons, so hopefully I would have known what the coach wanted by then. So, I would say no, just because these kids are getting in and playing a lot younger, that it takes them maybe a little bit more time to understand how to handle the emotion of a situation. Where I sat for 2.5 years and got to see other players do good and do bad and make mistakes. And so that's where I felt like I maybe could have been a little bit better than some of the other ones. Maybe I definitely wasn't as good of a soccer player as some of the ones I played behind, but I just saw some of their negative sides and realized that wasn't necessarily good maybe for some team stuff. So I was like, okay, how can I just fix it when I get a chance? to kind of run things.
It is kind of an interesting mix that you have on this team because you're getting contributions from Cassidy Savoy, Lexi Beck, who you referred to as the old girls last week on our podcast. But you've got those seniors. But you've got a lot of young players who are making an impact on this team.
Yeah, we do have a – I mean, if you look at our board, we're kind of a, a pyramid going, you know, freshmen – bigger, sophomores a little bit smaller, juniors a little bit smaller, and seniors the smallest. So we do have some youngsters, which can be good and bad. But so far, I mean, they've been able to weather the storm and kind of handle things okay. And again, it's sometimes it's easier to learn things when things are going your way, for the youngsters at least. So we are pretty young.
Then you were here on Saturday afternoon for an unseasonably warm afternoon. Actually, it was a morning start at 11 o'clock, as you mentioned earlier. And you're scoreless until about an hour in, and then St. Mary's gets the lead. And if memory serves me right, that came after you had a foul called, and their goal came off a free kick from the left wing.
Yeah. You know, us as coaches, especially me being a defender, you always want to, when a goal scored on us, you want to look back 30 seconds if you can to look back and you're like, okay, where did this break down? I think we lost the ball centrally when we could have done a little bit better on the placing of how to get this. You know, we won it centrally and then we kind of lost it back again, caught us in transition. You know, kind of an unneeded foul out wide, and then they put in a great ball. And there's really, other than us not doing well tracking the runners, that ball was so good that, I mean, I don't think Allie could have done a whole bunch on that one. Because it was placed perfectly. So, but again, don't get ourselves in that position to allow that to happen.
And you knew going in that Paniagua was capable of that kind of play, on especially on set pieces.
Yeah, no, she's been good this year. That was a thing going in. I think we were better on set pieces, attacking set pieces, than what they would be. And then you look at two goals were scored today, two days ago, and both. Offset pieces, no one tracking runners.
Yeah, because it was Nixley Munoz who set up your goal off a set piece that Lilia Besedin was able to head in.
No, Lilia's she's great in the air, especially if you're going to leave her alone. They didn't have her marked on the back post, and she put it back across the goal where it's hard for the goalkeeper to defend. And she's one of those. She does a good job of coming up big in those big moments for us.
You really dominated possession against St. Mary's, especially in the first half. You had possession about 64% of the time, and we're kind of in attack mode. Were you disappointed you didn't get an early goal in that match?
Yeah, it would have been nice to kind of when you think you're playing good and the goal doesn't come, you start to kind of put more pressure on yourself, and you kind of need that goal to release it. It didn't come, so maybe we kind of were built stuff up, you know. And I think the second half we came out doing pretty well, and then all of a sudden, you know, it was a 5-minute spell where we couldn't get out of our own half, and then the goal ended up happening, and then we had to kind of fight back.
They ended up with a lot more of the possession compared to the first half. They ended up with a lot more possession. Yeah. What turned around? Did your team get tired, or?
It was a hot day.
It was a hot day.
And they... He's always had the smaller, craftier, quicker girls, and a lot of times those girls can fight through the fatigue a little bit more maybe than some taller girls who are kind of built maybe for the physical contact. But again, I think it just comes down to decisions. If we make good decisions at the right times, periods will go our way, and if we don't, it could double down against us. And I think that's kind of what happened in that second half. And we made it a lot more of a fight than maybe it was. I mean, it was a fight.
Yeah.
But I think we made it a lot more of a fight than what it should have been.
I guess the reason I phrased the question that way is because it seemed like you were winning almost all the 50-50 battles in the midfield early in the game. And then you weren't winning as many of those battles.
I mean, fatigue, that they wanted the game stretched. And again, that the longer it goes on, some fatigue errors can start creeping up mentally.
So you've got pretty much, let me put it this way, you've got a week between games.
Yeah.
I almost said you got a week off. You don't really have a week off. There's going to be a lot of work put in between now and the time you play St. Edward's. But not having to play that midweek match, what does that allow you to do?
Yeah, we've had a few just kind of worries with just muscle injuries, just fatigue and overrunning and stuff like that. So this is a great week for us, I think, for a mental recharge, but also physically for us to kind of get the legs back underneath us, like how we kind of started off first, you know, 2 weeks of the year, scoring quite a bit of goals. I think this is a perfect time for a break for us to recharge.
I mean, you still have a really nice goal differential. Of course, you've got 6 goals twice this year,
So
that helps. But, I mean, you're outscoring your opponent by a pretty solid margin.
Yeah, we always knew we were going to score a bit more goals this year. Goals against, we do that every week, don't we?
You sound so disgruntled.
It's repetitive. I'm sure you get Meech in here, he'll talk, just
giving
up goals.
It's very much the same with the men, because they're way more concerned about the goals they're conceding than any perception of lack of scoring.
You're going to have games, and they'll say the same thing. You're going to have games you don't score, so you've got to keep a clean sheet. Or be good enough to keep, you know, the defending. So I don't know. It's just, the shutout's one of the biggest stat for me that I look for, because that means you're doing a team effort to keep them out of the goal. So, I like shutouts.
And you're pretty much giving up a goal a game.
I know. And then that's the added pressure we put on ourselves, knowing that we got to score 2 goals to win this game. So it's not always easy pressure to have on us.
We talked about it on the broadcast, and I probably brought it up to you when you joined us at halftime of the men's game on Saturday, but your team is showing some real resilience, because the game against TWU, you were down 2-0, you scored twice in the second half, got a draw out of that game. The game against Angelo State, you were down a goal twice, ended up getting a draw out of that game. Same thing against St. Mary's, you give up the first goal, but you come back. It's not the position you necessarily want to be in, but it's a nice characteristic to have, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's 2 things you look at. Can you fight back? And can you not give up easy goals? I mean, I think those are the 2 things that will give you a postseason push. Is, you know, you're not always going to score the first goal. So can you fight back? And I think this team has proven that they can. I think that's what having youth on your side. They don't have any feelings from previous years of maybe going down a goal to this team or that team and then knowing that, they're going to be good. They're going to come. No, it's just we keep putting our head down and going. So it is a big positive thing that kind of, I guess, calms – you know, me and Lynn a little bit, knowing that we're going to have chances to get back in it.
No question. You've done a great job creating chances all throughout the season, maybe with the exception of the one game in the non-conference at Missouri Southern. You've created chances over and over again. And just to fill in some details, you've outscored the opponents this year 27-12. You're playing a St. Edward's team on Saturday that doesn't have a goal differential anywhere near that. They've been outscored. They're -4. They've been outscored 14-10. And of their 10 goals, Annie Rocha has 8 of their goals. So at least on paper, it looks like if you can stop Rocha, you've got a good chance of stopping St. Edward's.
Yeah, she's a good youngster. She was a good pickup for them, and she's done well. So, yeah, whenever she's on the ball, you've got to if she's not on the ball, you've always got to know where she is. But, no, she is one that will cause every team issues, and they try to build around her, so that's going to be the big concept that we go over this week.
You talk about wanting a shutout. They had been shut out 4 straight games before they beat Eastern New Mexico 2-0. So, but on the other side of that, you've got to play at their place, and we saw the men struggle at St. Ed's. Not that there's a correlation between the two, but it can be a tough place to play.
No, it's all, I mean, I think when I played, it was always tough. Their field's a bit different than ours. It's sand based, so it's just a different feel, different role, and it's a big field. And typically, it's always a little warm when we play there. So hopefully, the weather's not too bad 1 o'clock on Saturday.
Hopefully, it's going to cool down this week. I think fall maybe muscling its way in, but summer is stubborn in this neck of the woods.
95 on Saturday or something.
Yeah, during your match against St. Mary's, mid-90s, and probably at Stang Park, it was probably 100. Yeah. Because, I mean, the official temperature is taken in shade, 6 feet above the ground. I'm guessing at Stang Park, it was – I know when I got in my car, and I know that's unofficial, I was at 100 degrees.
Yeah, fans came out. It was a fun couple games they saw.
Yeah, no doubt. And you're back home against Oklahoma Christian, but not until October 23rd. That'll be a 7 o'clock midweek match. Now, the men had senior day this past weekend, and it occurred to me last year you did senior day early.
Yeah.
But we haven't had senior day yet.
We, Yeah, this year we decided to go towards the end of the year. So it's our last home game. So it'll be, I think, it's a Monday against Sol Ross, I believe, is that game?
Sol Ross is Monday, November 4th, Stang Park. That is the last home game of the regular season
and
before you play
be
West Texas.
It will be cold by then, hopefully.
Colder. Or just cool?
Got to be cooler than
It's probably not going to be 95 degrees on November 4th. At least we hope not. Well, enjoy this kind of half off week that the Midwestern State women have. You don't have to play a midweek match. You go to Austin. Keep Austin weird while you're there.
For sure.
And get a win over St. Ed's. And we'll talk next week in another Stang Gang podcast. That's Ryan Spence, the women's head coach. Be sure to tell your friends about the Stang Gang podcast. And again, make your plans to be at Stang Park for the next home game, October 23rd. That's a Wednesday night with a 7 o'clock kickoff. And you can see the game at St. Edward's, 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon. That'll be live on Flow Sports. I'm Pete Stein. So long.